doctors are becoming increasingly concerned that girls are reaching puberty too early. They're also taking a look at sperm quality and high incidences of testicular cancer. What do all these have in common? They are believed to be tied to endocrine disruptors. An international news center in Denmark has just opened to form the framework for research and teaching, and Anders Juhl has joined us to talk about it. He's in charge of the center. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So let's just find out then, what is endocrine disruption and how common is it?
Well, first of all, endocrine disruption is a very broad term and it has various different definitions. But in essence, it boils down to defining substances or chemicals that we are exposed to, that our bodies are exposed to, that have endocrine hormone properties within the body or block hormone activity. So there may be a variety of different substances with a variety of different hormone actions within the body. That's endocrine disruption in general.
And of course, we've heard a lot about especially girls reaching puberty too early. What kind of trends are you seeing around the world?
Well, the trends, which actually started in the U.S. with girls showing much earlier signs of breast development compared to what was seen 20, 30, 40 years ago, they were described in the U.S. some 20, 25 years ago. And at the same time, we did not witness such a puberty epidemic in Europe. At the same time, but now we are actually, with a 15, 20 years delay, observing exactly the same thing, namely that girls develop breasts at least 1 year or even more than that earlier compared to 20 years back. So the average textbook knowledge, which any doctor can read, is that the average girl develops breasts at 11. And has her first menstrual bleeding at 13. That has changed now. So now the average Danish girl develops breast at 9.9 years of age, and the menstrual bleeding has gone down by 4 months or something like that. So the age at which the average girl develops breasts has gone down by a year in a very short period. And that's what we find quite worrying, because this is a obvious sign that something with hormone activity is actually acting directly on the breast tissue. Otherwise, they wouldn't develop. So something, either endogenous estrogen levels in the body or substances working like estrogens or like anti-androgens are actually affecting the female breast. And that's what we find as one clinical example of endocrine disruption. We just don't know what the actual endocrine disruptor or endocrine disruptors, which kind of substances or which kind of chemicals or factors they represent.
So you have just opened a new center in Denmark. Tell me about it. What is it and what are your goals?
Well, our goal is to add on top of all the existing animal experiments all over the world that exemplify or illustrate quite clearly that endocrine disruption exists in the animals, try to see, do we find similar associations in human studies. Obviously, we can't expose humans to substances in randomized trials, but we can look at associations, so we can study large populations of girls or men with poor semen quality and evaluate their content of a variety of substances that are known to affect hormones in animals to see what are their actual levels in these humans and do they associate with this clinical phenotype, meaning with their breast development or with the poor semen quality. EDMARC is the name of our international research and research training center. So what we've done is that we have in Copenhagen, where we have a sort of a track record of conducting such studies, and we have a large international network of top scientists from all over the world that we connect with and collaborate with, and we have sort of tried to institutionalize this international network, trying to make a international center where the best people from all over the world, the best scientists, would meet at regular intervals, would stay here, teach, and develop future projects together that would sort of fit within the framework of our center. So that's the overall aim, is to increase our knowledge and increase the quality of researchers in this very, very, it is a very complicated area, and it needs a very big collaborative effort from best people of all over the world.
Has anything like this ever been done?
Well, to my knowledge, not within this specific area, but obviously international centers where you set out to collect the best people from all over the world exist within the areas of cancer and HIV, etc., but not within this new research area of endocrine disruption affecting children and primarily adult men.
So you are gathering all these, you know, researchers together, and tell me, what do you hope the timetable will be before you get some answers that could help people?
Well, I think we have so far we've not obtained funding for other than starting, opening, and setting the framework for future research. So we are starting trials now, collaborative studies, and hopefully we within a 3 to 5 year timetable, we will be able to see the first new results suggesting chemicals or substances that may be of particular interest or particularly worrying in the context of human exposure. And obviously the point of all this is to identify these substances, because that may allow us to avoid them. And that's, of course, something that should be done by the regulatory authorities and the politicians. But they need something to work on. They cannot exclude or forbid a lot of substances without knowing whether they are harmful or not. So that's our task, is to identify potential harmful chemicals that we can eliminate from our everyday life.
Thank you. Anders Juhl, who is in charge of a new center opened in Denmark to look at endocrine disruption. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.